When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. My name is Erica, joined as always by my co-host, Carter, and together we comprise Seaweed Brain, a Percy Jackson podcast, which for the nearly last 4 years we've been seeking to answer the question, is Persebeth the greatest love story ever told? Today we have two elite Persebeth scholars here to help us answer that question. Walker Scobell, who plays Percy Jackson, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good, good. And Leah DeBay Jeffries, Miss Annabeth Chase, how is it going?
It is going very good, ma'am.
Thank you guys for being here. Carter, take us away.
We're so excited to be doing this interview with you both. Congratulations on the season 2 renewal.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
How does it feel? Are you all going back through the Sea of Monsters, rewriting? Are you excited for what the writers are cooking up?
We are. We're all talking about that, like in the group chat we call all the time. I think we talked about this yesterday, actually, about like how fun it's going to be because I mean, we're going to see Charlie and Dior a lot more this season.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really cool. Yeah.
It's going to be very, very fun. Like, I'm really excited also because it's more water scenes and stuff. I know Walker already has been through a lot of water scenes in the first day. But for me, I only got to do it once. So I'm excited because I like drinking water and I like being in water. So yeah, love water.
We love a hydrated queen. That's very important. So our plan today is to essentially journey across the Riordanverse, starting with season 1 of the show, but then expanding a bit into the books to talk about some like historically, culturally significant Percy and Annabeth moments. And you two, as we mentioned, are Percy Jackson scholars. You've both been big fans of the Riordanverse from a young age, just like us. So to set the scene a little bit, give us some background. When you were first reading these books as little kids, do you remember like your early opinions on Percy and Annabeth's relationship?
Leah, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'll go first. Me, when I read it, because I read it in fifth grade, I feel like I have read a lot of like romance type books back then also. But for some reason, this is going to come off so crazy. But I felt like I was just like reading the books and not actually like putting myself in it as much as I should be. Like
because
you know, I was in like fifth grade. So like when certain scenes came up, I was like, oh, let me skip over this. Hold on. Before I get in trouble. So yeah, I felt like I wasn't like putting myself into like, oh, look at this little cutesy stuff. Like I was like, oh my gosh, my teacher's spying on me. Let me skip this part. But so yeah, I feel like I was doing that. But now rereading again, though, like, I love the way how Mr. Rick put it and the slow burn of everything. Like, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Honestly, I had no idea it was even a thing until season 4 when she kissed him. And even then, I was like, maybe they're just really close friends. I just didn't catch on until, like, way later.
I think that's very fair.
I was having this conversation with a friend about Avatar The Last Airbender. And they were like, what did you think? Like, what was your favorite ship in Avatar The Last Airbender as a kid? And I was like, ships? I was not thinking about that. I was like, let's zoom past this so we can get to the fights.
Yeah.
Especially like between like Katara and Aang. I was not expecting. I mean, it works out very well. It's like perfect at the end. I can't imagine like a different, you know, setup. But I don't know. At the beginning, like when you look back, it's just. It's just funny, you know?
Yeah, it's very funny.
I feel like you can definitely tell when there's like a more like, I don't know how to put it, but like a romance thing or something. Yeah. You can tell when it's in there, when it's a live action thing. Like if you, like even if you see it in like animations, it's a little bit harder, but definitely in books, it's hard because you're like reading the words and stuff and things, but like seeing it actually come to life and seeing them actually look at them and give them hugs and stuff and things, it's like you can definitely picture way more.
I agree. Yeah, it's
for
just,
sure.
People were definitely surprised. I remember we were talking about this the other day, all of us. It's weird how much stronger it comes off in live action. Like you don't think about it, but like when you're seeing it fold out in front of you, you can tell, you know?
Yeah.
In a book, it just says they hug, but you have to decide what the hug looks like. You know, that's a big deal. It's a lot of responsibility.
Who hugs who first?
Exactly. There was the one, I can't remember. I think they'd removed it, but the arch scene when I, or like after the arch, when I get out, and then Annabeth runs over and I think she's going to hit me. And then she hugs me. Like they deleted it. They like cut it out of the frame, but they told me to not be sure about it. So like every take, my hands are just like hovering behind her back. So like seeing everyone be like, wow, this is moving fast. I was like, kind of. Yeah.
You're going to get the full picture.
They literally never show any of like, they never show like a full body shot of like Percy hugging back. It's literally just like Annabeth doing like this. And I'm like, oh, like I'm closing my eyes. So, which that came out very wrong, but you know what I mean? Like I'm closing my eyes and all that stuff. But like in the full body shots and stuff that I had from like behind the scenes, literally Walker's doing the exact same thing. But like in all the scenes, it's just like just standing there.
Oh, it's the power of like editing, right?
Arms down. Yeah.
All right. I think we also wanted to walk through season one, ask about some other specific moments in the show. You know, like the book, season one is tracking Percy and Annabeth's journey sort of from strangers to coworkers to friends. And the first big challenge that they face in the show is Medusa. And, you know, episode three, there's kind of a long-running big argument between Percy and Annabeth until Medusa brings that all to a head. And we wanted to know whether you enjoy playing that initial disagreement and conflict, and also whether or not you think that your character was right in those little arguments.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, at first he's always right.
I'm pretty sure about that.
I think they're both right.
I felt like it was just like a back and forth thing, and to until we like realized the stuff. Like, how do I explain it? We thought the way how we're always arguing, like at camp and on the quest, I felt like during this argument, we probably thought that we were gonna be like, oh yeah, I actually accepted her thing and all that stuff. But
just like petty, when, you know?
Yeah, we both thought that like that each other was gonna say like, oh yeah, I gave you up. But when we actually said I didn't, I killed them and stuff, I feel like that's when we realized like, oh, never mind, we're not that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. I don't know why.
Annabeth is right, is what you're saying, right?
Annabeth is right.
Annabeth is always right, is what you're saying.
No, yeah, I agree. That was a good answer.
There were also some very epic new Percibeth scenes in season one, which was obviously like our favorite part about watching the show, specifically these scenes that allowed us to see in Annabeth's perspective in the early parts of the story, since the books are in Percy's perspective. So I'm specifically thinking about the big speech that Annabeth gives to Hephaestus in episode 5 in the Tunnel of Love. Leah, did giving that speech change the way you thought about Percy and Annabeth's relationship? Do you remember when you first read that speech and were like, whoa, this is heavy?
Yeah, I definitely did. Because, you know, also when you film a series or like just actually anything in general, you never go in line of the scenes. Like you go from episode 6 back to 1. So when I filmed that was episode 5. Yeah, when I filmed episode 5, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting.
So long ago.
When I filmed episode 5 and I read the whole entire like page essay of it, I was like, "Oh, this is really heartfelt." And I can't remember, but like we went back into like an earlier episode right after that. And I had to change me from being nice to him, like oh, he's not that way and stuff, you know, like I care about him and stuff. Like I had to switch from that back to going back to arguing with them. So I definitely I definitely noticed how much it changed and like my perspective on him, or basically Annabeth's perspective on Percy. Like when I was doing that, I had to make sure that me and Annabeth connect and make sure that we both see that we actually care beneath that or behind all that stubbornness and meanness of me to him. So yeah, I felt like doing that part was really, really fun and good because I was able to change it up from being all mean and stuff like, you're rude and like you're ugly and stuff, whatever, to like, yeah. I mean,
ouch,
not actually,
man. Ouch. Okay. I'm going to cry that one off tonight. Thank you.
I'm sorry. That was like the worst thing I could ever say. Sorry.
No,
sorry. I meant like you're mean and you're bad at doing something.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like the first time where you realize that this is something that Annabeth is kind of insecure about. You know, it's the one thing that Percy has that she doesn't, which is hard for her to like kind of grasp because she's used to just knowing everything. Not in a like mean way. Annabeth does know everything, I feel like, you know.
No, I totally understand that.
It's true. She knows everything and she's always right and she's the prettiest.
Unfortunately.
One of the other scenes that we wanted to ask you about is towards the end in episode 8, when we have Annabeth giving her necklace to Percy, where in your show, instead of, you know, that being before the fight with Ares, it's before Percy goes off to Olympus to deal with Zeus. We wanted to ask you, Walker, what you think is going through Percy's head in that moment.
The acting was gorgeous.
Okay. I mean, I think there's a whole like lead up to that moment. I think he kind of expects to get there and then Zeus would be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that my sons would betray me. You're so much smarter than me. Blah, blah, blah. Here's a bunch of drachmas or something like that. But I guess I feel like he gets up there and he expects Zeus to do something about it. You know what I mean? Like Cronus is coming back. They're all going to die. The world might like come to an end, but Zeus just kind of brushes him off. And then Percy is like standing there and his quest is done. He gave Zeus his bolt back, but there's still going to be a war. You know what I mean? And I don't think he like understands that. And so, I don't know. It just like triggers something in him, which I feel like kind of comes from Poseidon. You know, it's just like an initial impulse. It's part of the ADHD, you know? He just like can't not say something that's wrong. You know what I mean? He has to point it out, which I think is a very important part of his character, you know?
Very ridiculously specific question. And also, I know that you guys filmed like years ago. So you can pass on this one if you want. But when Annabeth puts that necklace on Percy, there's this great shot of Percy, you pulling up your hand and sort of like touching the ring on Annabeth's necklace. And that's something I believe in the show isn't like explicitly stated where that ring comes from. But obviously, you know where that ring comes from.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, if you remember that moment or that day on set, like, was that something you did, like, consciously? Or is that just something that came, you know, naturally in the scene because you're so in character in this world?
It's something that we all kind of talked about a lot.
Wow.
Like, if you look back in episode 4, that's kind of when Annabeth is talking about her past and her dad and stuff. Like, the whole time he made sure to not exactly mention that it's his ring, but, you know, it's a part of him that she still has. And I feel like when she gives that to Percy, this is like the moment where he realizes that she actually believes in him and she really trusts him. You know what I mean? Cause she's giving like the only piece of her dad that she has left. I mean, not that he died, but like, you know.
Yeah. Effectively. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There is one last moment that we definitely have to ask you about in the show, which is Luke's big reveal. And the huge change that now, you know, Percy and Annabeth are both present for this. Leah, we wanted to ask you, when do you think Annabeth started to get suspicious? Like, when do you think Annabeth made the decision to also go out there and join them?
Like, put on the invisibility cap and follow them into the woods.
Yeah.
Because she was starting to get sus of Luke.
Sorry, my dog is right here. She's kind of hearing it.
She's like, Luke, that guy? Boo. Boo, that guy.
No, literally. I love Charlie, though. Sorry. but I feel like I started to get, like, the tiniest bit of suspicion about, like, 35-45% of that started getting suspicious when I was saying, go to Camp Half-Blood, and I said, toss the CV brain and stuff, and I checked it, like, to, like, call the gods and stuff, like, to go back to Camp Half-Blood to call them. And when Luke was there, and I was like, what are you doing there and stuff? And then he was like, I don't know. And stuff, like, you know, like, you know, Chiron's holding it back down and stuff. I feel like that was one part. And I also feel like it was, oh my gosh, how do I explain it? I'm trying to think because.
I know what you mean. It's like, it's been, are you wearing your Annabeth kilt, by the way? I'm sorry, I just noticed that. Yeah.
It looks just like it. I can't see my Annabeth kilt anymore.
You can't fit. Dude, I have a whole bin full of clothes that just don't fit.
You were so like, yeah, when I went on live and I tried to put it on, my literal sleeve
was too tight.
Yes. At least that means that I grew, though. That's good.
You did. You definitely grew. I feel like we've gotten to like a point, like me, Aryan, and Leah, where we all just kind of grow proportionally now. So like,
yeah,
we stay the same height difference away from each other, but we grow the same amount.
Oh, that's good.
I'm 60 now. No offense.
I'm 6'8".
6'8". You guys can always sell your clothes on eBay, you know?
That's secretly what I was thinking.
List them on Facebook Marketplace, authentic Annabeth Chase Facebook jacket.
We'll auction it off.
Maybe look, I don't use Facebook, but I definitely go on Facebook Marketplace, look at like iPads, Apple Watches, and all that stuff.
I used to go on Facebook Marketplace to buy Fortnite accounts. I never got one.
I go on Facebook Marketplace for indoor plants. It's a great place for that.
Indoor plants?
You know what, like, the funniest thing ever is that when I got my Nintendo for my birthday, it was a used one or something. Basically, when I got it, they had like so many games on there. They even left their Fortnite account on there, and it had like thousands and thousands of V-Bucks on there. Oh my gosh. Ooh. I was so lucky in life. I was like,
find.
I was like, I'm going to play everything.
This episode is unofficially sponsored by Facebook Marketplace by Meta. Thank you, Meta.
Thanks, Mark.
Sorry, I never got off track.
No, but that was, I mean, I think that's a great, that makes a lot of sense to us, because we were wondering if it was that Iris message scene where Annabeth is seeing Luke hiding in the office where she's like, what are you doing there? Okay, we have a couple rapid fire show questions before we talk a bit about the book. Walker, what was your favorite Persebeth moment scene to act out?
Probably the tunnel of love when I decided to sit in the chair. You know, I think it was just
Emmy Award.
It was so easy to like make my eyes water since there was so much chlorine in the air. It was just like, I don't know. It was just a fun day, and we got to be like soaking wet all day, which is always fun.
Yeah.
But the nice part about that, like being wet all day, like where we were in that scene, was that they made the water so warm because all of us, like a bunch of people, had to be in it to like film and like for safety and stuff in case we fell off. So they made the water like super hot, but it steamed up a bunch. So it was like a sauna in there while we filmed. Super nice.
That's so good. Oh my gosh, now thinking about it, I want that back. It was also filmed in November, so it was really cold. So when you came out, like that warm, like wet body that you had just like froze up. Like,
it did not feel good.
Oh, no,
it was bad.
Hopefully, Sea of Monsters is like, we were talking about, like, I mean, obviously, we don't know where it's filming, but hopefully, it's like Florida or something, or like in the summer.
Yeah.
You know,
we're rooting for you all to be warm. Yeah.
We're rooting for you to be warm outside. In the sunlight.
Yeah.
Leah, what was your favorite Persebeth scene to watch back when you were watching the show?
Oh, okay. If there was a long one, like a slow burn of a long scene, then definitely Tunnel of Love. Because, like, you know, at the beginning, I was like, oh, Percy, just push and stuff and whatever. And then it went from like, Percy, stand up, please. Like, that was a good one. And also definitely in episode 8, when I was giving the necklace, here's the crazy thing is that I never knew that Walker was actually like turning his head. Like,
I didn't know that either until we watched it.
Yeah, I was like, when did I get there? What?
It just felt awkward to like stare at Grover while she was doing that. You know what I mean? It's like right, the camera's like right in my face.
It was the right move. Yeah.
Oh, it was so
good.
It was
good.
It's historically significant moment, actually.
Yeah. I like the music also for it.
Oh, yeah. More historically significant than the Renaissance is what I was saying. Walker, when you guys went to the Empire State Building and you were in Capture the Flag costuming, who decided to put you in Capture the Flag costuming? Was that your decision?
So thank you for asking that. I've never actually talked about this before.
I have never stopped thinking about it.
Well, Aryan, who's like on this call right now, we were all just hanging out and we were talking. I can't remember. I think it was in Toronto when we were driving around to the different like radio stations. And I asked her, because my whole family came out to New York and we all hung out for like 2 weeks there while we were doing all that press and the premiere and stuff. So I asked her, I was like, my mom's driving out, so why don't I just ask her to bring my full Greek battle armor? And then everyone's like, all right, you could wear it at the Empire State Building. So I said, okay. They didn't let me bring in the sword because it's a weapon.
Fair enough.
But I did get to wear the armor. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
And then I had like a whole cocktail dress on. Like,
yeah.
I looked like I was going to like some ballroom, and right next to me is coming back from like killing the Minotaur or something.
It was great. The juxtaposition of it was very Percy Jackson, like the ball gown, the capture the flag.
Different types of glamour. Yeah.
Different types of glam. Yeah. Leah, is there a song that comes to mind when you think about Persebeth? Like, what would you put on the Persebeth playlist?
Oh, sorry.
You can cite multiple if you want. Whatever comes to mind.
This is a good question.
Oh yeah, I got this one down track. Okay, sorry. that came out very strong. But basically, "Never Be Like You" by Flume and like Kai. Definitely, that's like one of my favorite songs. Well, basically, let's just put number one for "Never Be Like You." I have so many more. It's literally like all my Apple Music. Wait, it's not like an album. Okay, that's gonna sound really like just like.
I know, it's like scattered.
Yeah, it's like scattered because so many people like use those songs. But like, definitely "Never Be Like You" is first. Oh, and I'm not even gonna lie to you. That last bit of like the instrumental part, like when the song's about the end of the song "Cardigan" by Taylor Swift.
Whoa.
Like,
oh,
that's specific.
Because I swear to you, this is gonna like. It's crazy. I was watching YouTube shorts in my living room TV, and a Persebeth edit came up. It was really cool, actually. But I basically have like a surround sound bass with my TV. So when that song came on, it was so strong, but like it wasn't bad strong. It was like amazing. I was like, I watched that thing like five times, just like jamming to it. I was like, at least by like the second one, like I'm not even lying. At least by like the second or third one, I noticed that I was in the video. Like
I know,
I didn't like the song.
Okay, "Cardigan" by Taylor Swift. That's a good one. Wait, Walker, do you have any songs you want to add to the Persebeth playlist?
I do have some. Let me check if I can. I'll look through real quick.
Oh, we can.
Yeah, pull up your own Persebeth playlist.
I don't have a playlist, but I always thought like a good song because I always like I don't know. This is gonna sound weird, but. I always think of like songs that they could put in like different scenes in the books. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Oh, sorry.
So I always thought like the "Fall into Tartarus" was like "Somewhere Only We Know." I thought that was it's pretty sad.
Which one? Huh?
"Somewhere Only We Know." That's like our childhood.
Oh my gosh.
But like I'll randomly hear something and it just like reminds me of it. So I mean, Tekkit, that reminds me of Persebeth eventually.
There you go.
Just because of the first word, because it's a slow burn. Get it?
Oh my gosh.
That's good.
You know, only we know has me gagged. Sorry, go ahead, Leo.
Sorry, my apology. It's a song, "I Know You," by, I forgot her name, but I think it's like, I know. Oh, no, I forgot how it goes. It's by...
Is it Faye Webster?
Yeah. By Faye Webster. It's that one. It's "I Know You." And "Here With Me" by... It goes... I think it's David. But, like, it's... It's, like, D4VD. So it's almost
yes.
Like... Yes. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
I've seen that before.
Yeah. Oh, and "Gilded Lily" by Colts. I just, that one, oh my gosh. If you listen to the song, but it's called "Gilded Lily" by Colts, that part right there definitely reminds me of "Falling into Tartarus" and stuff.
Wow.
Like, just the song of it, and also, like, it's just, you gotta listen to it, because it goes into, like, this soft.
"Looking Out for You."
Huh?
"Looking Out for You."
"Looking Out for You." You know that song?
I'm looking it up. By Joy Again?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to put these into like a Spotify playlist so I can listen to all of them, like go through them one at a time.
We should make a giant. I always thought about it. I know a lot of people that like have, I think Aryan has one. Leah, I think, do you have one? Of like a playlist that you play, but like to get into like character?
Or
like,
oh, yeah.
For like a scene or something? I've never done that. I don't know.
I have one. It's literally called Percy Jackson.
It's called Percy Jackson.
Percy Jackson. I don't know if
you guys could do a collab playlist. Like Carter and I do collab playlists a lot. You could do a collab one for Persebeth songs.
Is that an Apple Music?
On Spotify. Spotify. Oh. Yeah.
That's okay.
Sorry, Leah.
I used to have music too. It's just a better deal. Like it, like think about it. It's going through the same like provide, like you don't have, it's not a separate bill. It's all in the same thing. It's,
oh,
you yeah. just pay off your Apple.
And also paying, if you're a
separate thing with probably more taxes.
Yeah, and also if you do a family deal, which
said that's what my family has, yeah.
Because, you know, even if you, that was going to come off wrong. Obviously, everyone has a family. But if you don't have a family that wants to listen to Apple Music, all you got to do is just create a bunch of emails and then just, like, you know.
No, exactly. My brother David, James, just make up random names.
Yeah. Like, hopefully nobody heard.
Okay, I'll consider this. I'm working on my taxes right now, so I'll look at my Spotify bill and I'll think about it. Okay, well, your homework is to make a collaborative playlist for Persebeth songs.
Oh, no,
you could then you could sell it on Facebook, you know, you make so much money. People would pay for that.
Place, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got some time left to switch into a little bit talking about the books. And instead of, we were like, how should we do this? We could just like rattle off book scenes to you guys. But instead, we wrote down some scenes in pieces of paper and we put them in a hat. So we're going to draw some scenes out of this hat and read out some quotes from the books. And we'll have you guys guess which book these quotes may have come from. And we can talk a little bit about these historically significant Persebeth scenes. Some of them are easy, some of them are harder. So don't feel bad if you don't get it. No one's judging you. There's no prize at the end of this.
I'm going this, I'm being honest.
We already know that you're Persebeth scholars and you guys are going to play on a team together. It's all good.
All right. Okay, this is good. We're on a team.
Yeah.
You're on a team. This. Yeah.
Is there any from the sixth book?
We've got, okay, so we've got first five books. We've got some from Heroes of Olympus, and there may even be a Chalice of the Gods quote somewhere in this hat. Okay. I don't know if we'll get to it, though.
Do you have them, like, lined up in the hat?
They're random. They're random.
Okay.
They'll be out of order. Great. Here we go. First one. You dropped this.
Oh, that's Mark Christina.
Oh,
whoa!
Mark Christina.
Wow.
It is Mark of Athena. It is the... What? It's Charleston, right? The Charleston Harbor, right, yep. Carter?
Yeah, when Percy and she throws her dagger in.
Yeah.
Historically
wow.
significant.
That's true.
That was really impressive.
Thank you. Thank you.
Again, I told you I'm good at the Percy Jackson ones, but Heroes of Olympus, I gotta go back on that.
I'm mostly the same way too. I don't know how I got that.
Heroes of Olympus, the books are so thick, you know? There's a lot mm-hmm. of content in them.
More quotes to remember. Yeah.
More quotes. Yeah.
It's like a separate, like it's not one point of view, it's like different ones. So like sometimes I'll like completely forget. I remember when I was little, I like would accidentally skip over a point of view just on accident because I thought, oh, like if I'm on Percy, shouldn't I go to the next Percy one? And then I would go back and I would read through it and it would just feel really weird and like out of place. But yeah.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that skips the Jason chapters. I really do. I'm sorry to admit it, but I do skip the Jason chapters. He's no Percy, you know.
I can't do that anymore. I when I was little, I used to skip everyone chapters except like Annabeth, Percy, and yeah, that's pretty much it. I used to go to Annabeth and Percy. Because those were the only like, because I didn't like at the beginning, I didn't know who these people were. And so I was like, I just need someone I know.
Yeah.
So I just skipped to Annabeth and everybody. But yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Here we go. Let's get another one. Oh, okay. Here's a quote. I mean, she looked good. Really good. I probably would have been tongue-tied. Oh, close, not quite.
Wait, is it the?
Oh no, no. This is two.
The two.
This is two. on the island when Annabeth comes out and
with the hair dye. Oh, sorry.
Yep. It's while Percy's a guinea pig.
That's correct.
Yeah, because I'm not thinking about hair done.
Yeah, when you get like all done up by, and I can't remember the Cersei. I could remember that quote. I couldn't remember the goddess's name.
Wow. I feel like if I had gotten to the end of the quote, like it would have been a giveaway and you guys got it before I even got to the part where he says, I probably would have been tongue-tied if I could have said anything except free.
Oh.
So that's when he's a guinea pig.
So are we winning?
I think you're definitely winning.
We're winning.
Very successful.
Yeah.
Sea of Monsters. Great moment from Sea of Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Here's a good one. She looked at me like she was drinking in the fact that I was still here. And I realized I was doing the same thing. The world was collapsing, and the only thing that mattered to me was that she was alive.
Wait, is it five?
It's five!
Oh, I was gonna say four in Mount St. Helens.
Oh no, that's a good guess. That's like almost at the very end.
Oh, you're right. That's right before the whole underwater thing. Maybe this is part of the battle.
I think this is when they're talking to Luke, and Luke is like, "Did you still love me?"
Yeah,
and
she's like, yeah.
Oh no.
And how old are you?
We talk about that sometimes. We're just thinking about it, like our actual ages. When we're filming season 5, I don't know how long, I'm gonna make an estimate. We're probably gonna be like 18 or 19, right? How old's Charlie gonna be? If he's 19 now and he's turning 20.
Charlie is 45 years old.
He'll be 45.
Elderly like us.
Elderly like us.
Yeah. You guys are 45?
You exfoliate, don't you?
We're 24.
Oh!
We are like probably the actual age Charlie will be by the time that you all get to.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We're the age that Grover is technically.
In the first
book. In the Lightning Thief, yeah.
That's weird.
That's wild.
Elderly. Yeah. Okay, let's see. See if we can get a couple more in here. Okay. What is it? The prophecy? Then she did something that really surprised me. She blinked back tears and put out her arms. I stepped forward and hugged her. Butterflies started turning my stomach into a mosh pit. This one's a little vague. It's from the original series.
You need the lemon soap detail. That's very important.
Oh, it goes on to talk about Annabeth's hair smelling like lemon soap.
Number 3, isn't it?
4. It's Battle of the Labyrinth.
Of course it's 4.
We needed to give you more context.
Eclipse's Island.
We needed to give you more context. It's like, and then it's like they're in the Athena cabin, and then like her brother walks in and he's like, "Oh, I can leave.
Oh,
and
she's
like,
yeah.
We were just looking at maps.
That's 5, isn't it? That's 5, right?
I think it's 4, right? Carter would know.
We just freshly Googled these. So.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. But we can double check. We can count that one moot.
Let's ask Mr. Rick.
Yeah, well, Rick, hello.
Excuse me.
Where's Rick?
Richard.
Let's call him up.
Where's Rick? Sorry.
Rick and Becky. Okay. Aha. Get back. I slashed the air in a wide arc, driving the rest
on
of
the bridge
demigods.
On number 5, Ethan Nakamura, when he stabs Annabeth.
That was right.
Wait, which one?
That's 5. Remember when you get stabbed? When you dive in front of me?
Yeah. I'll do the whole thing at once so you can hear it. It's get back. I slashed the air in a wide arc, driving the rest of the demigods away from Annabeth. Nobody touches her.
Oh, see? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, now I know that. Okay, yeah. That's fine. When you said nobody touches her, like a lot of edits that I see, they pull a lot of quotes from the books. And it's literally the ones that you have. And I'm like, you sound not familiar.
That's yeah. I know we have like 5 minutes left, but did you guys ever see the fake, like the audio, like the AI audio of Annabeth going like, "Percy, stop." And it's from, I'm pretty sure it's from House of Hades when I'm like,
oh my God, the poison?
Yeah, the poison.
And you're saying how much misery she could take?
Yeah, I was like, Jesus, I don't recall saying that in the Lightning.
Is that weird for you to see people doing that with your voice?
Dude, it's so weird. When I see like other, oh my gosh, I saw that and I was like listening to that. It's crazy how advanced. It's a digital world.
Yeah. Because I actually sent one to Walker. I was like,
you sent that to me. You sent that to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, when did this ever happen? Because I don't remember saying Percy stop like that.
How do you feel about the other, like the non-AI edits? Like you mentioned that you see some of them sometimes. Like when you see like the fan compilations, what is that like? And it's like you in them. That's wild.
It is. I think I like that. I like the Percy Jackson edits, like all of them. No, yeah, I just think it's so cool that we get to be a part of something like this. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Absolutely. So we didn't get to quite all of the quotes, but we have to ask you guys sort of the central question here that we ask ourselves at Seaweed Brain Podcast, which is, do you believe that Persebeth, across its iterations throughout time, is the greatest love story ever told? And if so, why? And if not, what's maybe your second favorite love story ever told? Walker, do you want to start?
I will start. I totally agree with that 100%, because it is not like, it's such a, like, you just spend so much time with him growing up.
Yeah.
How do I explain this? It's just, like, there's nothing that really hints to it. I mean, eventually, as it goes on and on, there's stuff that hints to it more and more. But like at the beginning, you can just kind of feel that, you know, you can feel that connection, even though they kind of hate each other. But I think that's why they have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's that intense emotional connection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the fact that it lasts so long, like 5 books.
Yeah. And then more books.
And then more. And then 5 more. And then 3 more, probably.
Yay, 3 more. Absolutely. Leah, thoughts?
Yeah. Again, like, I agree definitely. Like, because I was even thinking, like, as soon as you said, do you think it's your, like, the greatest one? Like, I was yelling in my head, like, yes. like, it really is, because it's not, like, one of those, like, secretive things. Like, it's not, like, where I'm hating Percy every single second in public, but, like, when we're, like, together just by ourselves, though, like, oh, yes, love you this, love you that. Like, it's not even, like, secret public. It's, like, slowly in public. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's like a wholesome thing. It's not just, like, something that's, like, yeah, it's not, like, rock hard, let's get this, like, yeah, it's not like that. It's, like, I came off wrong. Sorry. it's more, like, you're starting to realize, like, oh, like, I actually do find the, we're all older. Oh, I actually do find attraction in Percy. Like, if that makes sense. Like,
I do too.
Yeah. Come on, not Percy. Like, I'm not joking. let's be honest. Not joking. But
he's not that ugly.
No. It's not. but yeah. Basically,
yeah. Like that. That's a beautiful answer. Like you said, like their relationship develops with their community. Like, as they're fighting this war with all of their friends and in front of the whole camp, there's a reason the whole camp is like, Percy and Annabeth, like, push them in the lake at the end of the last Olympian. Because
yeah,
everybody was watching it develop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I agree. It's not something that they were, like, consciously thinking about. Like, I don't think Percy ever thought about that. Actually, I think he literally says in the books that he has thought about it. Never mind. But it's not like something that they're both aiming for. It's just,
yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Fate,
yeah.
You know?
It just happens.
It's fate.
It's like very unexpected.
Fate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you both for joining us on a school night. It's a Monday night, so we appreciate your time. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Leah.
I am so, so sorry to interrupt. But really, really quickly, there was actually something I was going to say that actually was, like, I felt like was actually, like, really, really good. We were talking about, oh yeah, okay, basically, if it's already a lot of Percy-Beth connections that you can, like, physically see in season one, then, like, mm-hmm, definitely in, like, the later seasons when it actually, like, when it's way more, like, it's going to be so, so, so good. Like, I'm really excited to do it, but, like, basically, like, it's just, mm-hmm, like, if you can already start to see the signs of a lot of things now, then yeah.
Just you wait, everybody. Uh-huh. Just you wait. Again, thank you guys for joining us on school night. We really appreciate you spending some time to think back on this relationship. And hopefully in a certain amount of undetermined time, we can talk about Siren Bay.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I love that scene. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. We hope that you get to shoot outside in the sunlight on the beach.
Me too.
And have a great season 2.
Thank you so much. I'll probably see you guys then. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Boat premiere.
Fingers crossed. Boat premiere on a yacht.
On the yacht.
And Top Gun do that?
If Top Gun can do it, Disney Plus can do it.
We can do it.
Yeah. They had a premiere on a yacht.
Yeah, Tom Cruise, like, landed on it on a helicopter.
Walker's basically Tom Cruise.
I could do that.
You're Tom Cruise, Walker, please.
I don't need a freaking helicopter license. Those things are for nerds.
Oh.
Have a great night, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good to see you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.